that sound, it's the sound of Battle of Spears broadsides coming at you with civil rights in your face. 11 to 1:30 today for the next 2.5 hours on this February 7th show on Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're going to be talking about the sellout by Mayor Byers and a task force to examine the camping ordinance. We'll have a special call-in interview from San Francisco with John Malkin on the situation around police review and a particular examination into the history of one police officer. He's also invited to call in, by the way. We're going to be talking about Lauren Baker. How has he changed? What's going on? We need quite a show.
Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist Bloc, Roy Cohn, Walter Ron, Toscanini, Dacron, Gengen, Foo Falls, rock around the clock. Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team, Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bardo, Budapest, Alabama, Cruise Jet, Princess Grace, Katie Grace, Trouble in the Suez.
We didn't start the fire.
Acosta.
And you're going before Judge Dan
Manor. Yes.
What time?
8:30.
And what day?
So
Wednesday. Sir.
Is the sleeping ban ticket?
Yes, it is. When I went before Mersman?
Mulligan.
Mulligan, I requested a judge, not a referee.
Right. Good. And see,
I also
have
wrote specifically in a letter to Mulligan that I requested a judge or a jury trial and not a referee.
You won't get a jury trial, right. But you know, we have to think of some way to do it. You know, what we have to do is we have to have a demonstration that's outside 24 hours a day, and then we have to have every person involved in attempts to get a shelter bed. If they get one, we have somebody else come down, take their place, and they ask for a shelter bed. When they don't get a shelter bed, they sleep, and we have this round
right.
kind of demonstration
right.
that goes on
yeah.
in that way.
Yeah.
That way,
and then we'll
use a necessity defense.
A few good cases. Yeah, I mean, there's also this non-homeless by choice issue that's really important as part
not
of the ICORN case.
By choice.
Not homeless, it's by circumstances beyond their control. That they the ICORN, there's a whole list of ICORN
it's not hard.
Requirements.
There's a lot of people that are homeless by choice.
Yeah, but there are not a lot of people who are willing to get arrested for it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people want to go to jail for
right.
it. That's the problem.
Right, yeah.
Because I was...
And that conversation happened shortly after the infamous task force hearing on Monday a week ago, where Catherine Byers declared that there would be no change in the sleeping ordinance as far as she was concerned, except possibly penalty section modifications. It's going to heat up tomorrow at the next task force meeting. They call it the task force. I call it the task farce. But before we get into that, and that's a really hot topic, we have a very special guest coming with us on the air. We're going to switch to the phone now.
And hello, John Malkin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, let's see. Give us a reading there. How are you doing up there in San Francisco?
Well, it's wet and rainy. That's the report.
Wet?
Aside from that, things are good.
Okay. If you can, speak up a little bit. We have a...
Okay.
Very good. Very good.
I can't hear you all that well either.
Yeah. We have a strange microphone situation where I have to speak away from the phone.
Oh, right.
And I have to kind of boost the volume with you. It's the primitive equipment here at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yes.
And for all you listeners, if you actually want to hear John Malkin next time, give a call to the voicemail at 427-4523 and pledge a couple $100, or maybe $10. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be great.
Well, John, you're a man who is, of course, a free radio broadcaster recently, and in the early days, too. Didn't you have a show early on?
Not early on. You know, I started having a show about a year ago, and then I took a bit of a break, and now I do have a show again. And I talk about nonviolence and community organizing, and I play unusual contemporary music also.
Uh-huh. And when is your show?
It's Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. every other Saturday. So it's not last night, it'll be next week, and then every other Saturday.
You know, the reason that I guess we first ran into each other probably was around the same kind of struggles that were going on, that are going on now in terms of rights for poor and homeless people. And you were interested in that issue, and you were interested in that issue as it related to the police force, the Santa Cruz Police Department. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, and I got hooked up with this group, the Coalition for Police Review Commission,
mm-hmm.
that was trying to create a police review board for the city of Santa Cruz. And in fact, we did that, and I later was appointed to be on the board, and I served on the Citizens Police Review Board for about a year and a half until I resigned. And that was about 2 years ago when I resigned.
We have to ask you, as they asked the prisoner in 1969 on television, why did you resign?
Well, I have spoken a lot about that in the past. I resigned primarily because I found the board members that I worked with to be primarily interested in meeting the needs of the police and only secondarily interested in meeting the needs of the citizens. And that manifested itself in the board a number of times not making information public that normally would have been made public, with the idea that if it was made public, the police might be upset or embarrassed, or it might damage the relationship between the board and the police. And board members repeatedly made efforts to keep things secret.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we forwarded recommendations to the police chief about improving things at the police department. And one of those recommendations, the board decided not to list in the public list, but just to talk to the police chief privately about it and
but
see how that worked.
What was that recommendation, John?
Well, I can't tell you.
Oh, confidentiality requirement?
Yeah, because we discussed all that in a closed session meeting.
I see. So there are secret recommendations from the CPRB to the police department that the citizenry knows nothing about, and apparently that the police force hasn't responded to?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what happened, and it happened more than once. And after a while, and it actually became a whole... In my view, it became a whole method, a whole way of doing things, and by that I mean there was this idea that if we can supposedly stay friends with the police department in this way, down the road we'll be able to make bigger changes, rather than telling the police department and the public everything immediately. keep some things that might be a little bit too much for the public to hear or the police to have the public hearing, keep those things quiet for the time being, and down the road, the relationship will be so good that I guess, you know, the police review board will be able to ask for whatever they want.
You know, I
and
guess
the police will respond better.
I guess in theory, you know, that also has the flip side, that if you've got something on the police department, maybe you're more likely to nudge them in the direction you want to go by not playing all your cards than if you put everything out on the table and demand they proceed, and then in essence your threats are no longer threats because they've all been played. And there might be some rationale to that in some sense.
But clearly it's not an open system. And one of the primary ideas behind the police review board is to have an open system, because the common view is that having the police investigate themselves is a very closed system, and people don't know the results of their investigations. It was actually in 1991 even, it was fairly common that people were not hearing the results of the investigations of complaints they filed. And that is just closed, and
it's not just closed. It seems to me it violates state law that they have to give you some kind of a response. They may have to tell you why or let you inquire into it. I usually got back a form letter which said, "We have received your complaint. Thank you very much."
Right, and that was it.
Right.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, these people work for us and are trying to meet our needs, and then something happens. There's some link that's severed. And the police review board was trying to address that, and I didn't feel that it did do that, so I left.
Well, one of the rationales of the police review boards, the people like yourself and myself that wanted to see a police review, civilian police review commission set up, had to do with the mistreatment of homeless people. And there was one woman, Sarah, what's her last name?
Hildale.
Hildale?
Yeah.
I know she came to my attention because she was with a fiery Irishman that got a ticket from an officer, Lauren Baker, I believe it was. Maybe I'm wrong about it. A panhandling ticket?
Yeah, that's true.
And I actually attended her trial. And a lot of the details of that are hazy, but I called you after conferring with Officer Baker and just sort of thinking about this case, because Officer Baker is, of course, now Sergeant Baker. Sergeant Baker, this case originally became a kind of a touchstone for critics regarding the police force operation and regarding, candidly, Officer Baker himself in terms of alleged sexual harassment of women through improper searches and so forth. And there was a series of internal investigations, one by the police department. And again, I get a little hazy whether it was the DA or the grand jury, and the state attorney general's office got into it, and even the city council had a, you know, brief investigation that was quickly truncated.
Right.
And the next year, the sergeant, the officer became, you know, he was declared officer of the year by the department, I would say, perhaps for perfectly legitimate reasons, perhaps in as a political gesture, perhaps both, you know, hard to say. And then he was declared, you know, he got promoted to sergeant. I'm not quite sure where that happened in the chronology, but somewhere before 1995. And now he's working as a liaison with the task force to examine the camping ordinance. I'm sorry, the task force, for those of you who don't like my choice of words. I call them the task force because that, so far that, I'm afraid, after I've given them lots and lots of rope, is what they've shown themselves to be, talking about, you know, criminalizing homeless people for sleeping, or I should say not talking about it, but instead listening to a lot of bigots and letting the bigotry fill the room and not doing anything substantial to really deal with those issues. Anyway, Sergeant Baker has been a part of this process, and some of us have been concerned, and I've actually said so to Sergeant Baker, and I've written it a little bit in the literature. I talked about the sleeping ban controversy. Why would the police department send someone like Sergeant Baker? And yet, you know, it has to be said that Sergeant Baker, for example, was involved in helping to solve crimes around the beating of homeless people several years ago. He approached me on that in 1995 asking, you know, if I could assist him, and I told him if I heard of accounts, I would definitely pass them on to him. And there has now, in the last 3 weeks, I believe, as a function of Mayor Byers' refusal to stand up and say people have a right to sleep, instead terrorizing the community with comments about lifting the whole camping ordinance, in essence encouraging the most reactionary segments of the community to come out. there's a whole new rash of beatings. There have been 9 or 10 beatings. Three people put in the hospital, I understand. An elderly woman twice attacked. One guy attacked with a 2x4. Other with kicked about the head, stitches in the head, fractured ribs. And of course, none of this has appeared in the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Mm. And it's the basis of a resolution we're trying to get to City Council for their Tuesday council meeting that they will probably ignore or refuse to present. But Baker is the issue here, I guess, and the reason I really wanted to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
The question I had is, I mean, we don't want to hold a man. I don't like to keep bringing up dirt from distant eras if it is not relevant to our current workings and how we are relating to the people now in terms of how Sergeant Baker relates to homeless people, how he relates to women, because certainly that's important. And I have no clear, you know, notions of any, I mean, I haven't heard any complaints specifically about Sergeant Baker, at least for the last year. There have been some complaints earlier that, one of them I'm not really at liberty to go into without the permission of the individual involved. And but in terms of the history, I thought we should be aware of the history because this was such a key element way back when this, actually 1991, 92, when the commission, the Coalition for the Citizens Police Review Board began its investigation. Well, first of all, I mean, is this inquiry relevant at all? Should we be talking about Sergeant Baker's past here? What do you think, John?
Well, for one reason, maybe it's a good idea to clear up facts about what occurred during that time. And, you know, you contacted me about this because of this group, the task force that is looking at the camping ban, and Officer Baker is on that task force.
No, he's certainly a staff member to the task force.
He's what?
He's a staff member.
Uh-huh, okay.
I mean, the police are staff.
It's maybe interesting to remind people about the facts of what was going on in 1991. And my understanding is that Officer Baker has spoken to you about that and had some ideas about what happened during that time. And I don't know if you've talked about that on the air or not.
No, what I really like to do is present this as a conversation between you in terms of your own knowledge or of because you kept pretty close track of the women who filed complaints against Sergeant then Officer
Baker.
Yeah,
I can talk about that, and I've looked through my notes, you know, since you called me, and I can tell you just to remind people about what was going on in 1991, and the Coalition for Police Review Commission, which is the group that I was a part of, that was trying to establish the Police Review Board. It was made up partly of attorneys and community activists and all kinds of folks, just, you know, neighborhood people.
Was there an impetus out of which this came? I mean, I know that Sherry Connable and Margaret Marr were prominent in a prior group called the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep, concerned with finding a place for homeless people to be able to sleep, which, of course, is very pertinent now because nothing has been done for a decade around that. And So did it come from complaints about the police regarding the homeless, or were there...
Both. And, in fact, both of those organizations, the Coalition for a Police Review Commission and the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep, co-sponsored the press conference on November 21st, 1991, which announced that three women were victims of sexual misconduct in two incidents involving a Santa Cruz police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And at that press conference, these women spoke about what they had experienced and said that it had been Butch Baker, a Santa Cruz police officer, who had committed sexual misconduct against them during their arrests.
Who were these women and what was the alleged sexual misconduct?
Two of the women were involved in one incident, and actually there were three women who were at that incident. One of them was a minor, and she did not participate in the press conference. Two of the women were arrested at the Best Inn Motel in February 1991. They said that They were taken into the bathroom of the motel by Officer Baker and were asked, excuse me, to expose their breasts during a search for drugs. And they were asked to lift out their tops and jump up and down and pull up their bras while Officer Baker allegedly looked up their tops with a flashlight.
Is this considered a standard procedure?
Later there was argument about whether this violated law or not, and the district attorney said that it did not violate law. And there's, let me see if I can find it, there's a question about what is legal in terms of cross-gender searches, and that discussion went on for a while. The district attorney said that this sort of search was legal.
If no women officers were present?
The people in the Coalition for a Police Review Commission argued that it was not, that you needed a person of the same gender to search in that sort of manner.
But it would be legal for, let's say, an officer to pat down a woman if there were no female officer present, let's say, to protect his safety?
Yeah, and a pat search is really completely normal, but that's done on the outside of the clothing. Mm-hmm. It's really unusual to ask someone to undress or to see them partially undressed in terms of cross-gender.
Now, is this something that the police department claims was their normal process and that they are indeed still continuing to do today? Do you know that?
I think at the time they said they were going to reevaluate their search policies, and I don't know what they ended up deciding about that. You know, what happened was that this group was organizing for a police review board and was publicizing events incidents of police misconduct, and because some of the people were attorneys in this group, it came to their attention through their legal work. They had clients who were arrested for something and complained that they had been treated in an improper way by a police officer. And in fact, it was Margaret Marr who represented Brian Woods for resisting arrest.
Brian Woods, of course, was the companion to Sarah
Hillsdale.
Hillsdale, the first woman who was involved in the complaints against Officer Baker?
Right, and what happened was Brian Woods is getting arrested by Officer Baker for panhandling, and while he's being arrested, Officer Baker allegedly, according to Brian and Sarah, allegedly Officer Baker starts searching Sarah in a sexually improper way, putting his hands into the waistband of her pants and inside of her blouse to the base of her bosom. And Brian is witnessing that happening, and he begins to be upset by that, and he begins to stop cooperating with the police officer. He is then arrested for resisting arrest. So during the trial, during Brian's trial...
For resisting arrest?
Yes. Margaret Marr, the attorney, brings up the situation, you know, the facts of the matter, which were that he was upset that this officer was engaging in sexual misconduct with Sarah at the site.
Now, could Officer Baker's conduct have been legitimate if, for example, he had felt a hard object under her pants or in her bra?
That's a good question. When they do a pat search and they feel a hard object, I think they can reach into pockets. I'm not sure about underwear or inside of bras.
I mean, because one could keep a pistol or something, you know, between one's legs and, you know, if
that's,
one more.
That's what the police argue, right? I think in that case, they need to get someone of the same gender.
But wouldn't that be a risk to officer safety to wait for that to happen?
I suppose it could be. But there are insurances for citizens, too, that they won't be, you know, treated that way.
Did Officer Baker claim on the record that he had found some sort of hard object that he was seeking, that disturbed him, that was, you know, underneath the undergarments of Sarah. One more time.
As far as I recall in reviewing the notes here, Officer Baker simply denied that he had done that at all. And
where were these notes taken? This is from the trial or from subsequent statements?
I'm looking at a statement from Margaret Marr, the attorney who represented Brian.
So it's a sort of secondhand. We don't know. You don't have a transcript of Baker's actual testimony.
No. I didn't.
I was actually at the trial.
Oh, yeah.
But all these things blur together in the passing of the years. We old folks, you know.
Yeah.
We're ready for our nannies.
You know, and eventually 9 women filed complaints against Officer Baker of a similar nature.
Hmm.
One of those women was a witness to an incident. She didn't firsthand experience this alleged sexual misconduct, but 8 women said that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And of those 8 women, 3 were at one incident, and the others were at completely independent, singular incidents.
What sort of things were they alleging, or do you want to go into any of those? Again, the question is, I guess the specifics are relevant to clear up confusion about this issue. People have asked me about it at different times. I think it's fair to have at least one version of the facts, and if a sympathetic officer, or even if Officer Baker himself wanted to clarify this, although it would be difficult for him to do that on the air, it puts him in a difficult position as a police officer. I don't know if he could do that, but I would like there to be able to be a free discussion and debate of this, and then the question arises, is this relevant to us now, which I think we have to talk about. But tell me a little bit more about the specifics of these incidents.
And you know, when you're saying these things, I think of a lot of ways that maybe it is relevant. I will tell you a couple of...
Tell me about the ways it's relevant first, then, if you don't want to lose the thought.
No, it's okay. I'll describe a few more of the incidents, and they are all similar, which is important. They all involve some sort of physical search or touching that the women felt was strange and sexual. In other words, he was looking at or touching what is considered sexual parts of the body, which is illegal and is not condoned.
Unless you're talking about a weapon search? Or?
No, it is not okay for a male police officer to do that to a female suspect.
So you mean even if there were an outline of a gun, you couldn't take the gun away from her? That sounds highly improbable, though.
I'm not sure about that. I don't want to say.
Right. No, I understand. I'm not trying to tangle you up, but I think we got to be fair to Officer Baker.
It's a good question. It's a legitimate question.
Sure.
Let me see if I can find the. Like I said, the district attorney addressed this search question quite a bit, and here's something from the DA which addresses that. And I remember the Coalition for Police Review Commission going to council meetings and addressing this issue too, and saying, "Look, this is what the law says. It's clear that it's illegal for a male officer to do this sort of search." The district attorney says that...
This is Art Danner, the old district attorney.
Right, that's right, Art Danner. There's section 4030 of the Penal Code. He says it does not apply to the Best Inn incident, and that is the Best Inn motel where these 3 women were arrested and searched by Officer Baker.
What is that section, do we know?
I do have it here somewhere.
No, it's okay. Perhaps what we should do is, and these are important questions, maybe you can, if you have things you want to present that you think are important considerations around this issue, maybe you should present those, and then we're going to be on the air for a little bit longer. Maybe you could, research some of these questions at your leisure, and either call us back later in the show on them, or else call us back at a later show.
Right, I could do that on a later show. I will be unable to do that today.
I see. Or if you think you can find the answers now, that's fine too.
Yeah,
you
know? This issue is an important one. I just don't see the actual penal code in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
One issue that is important is that Officer Baker, when these complaints were made, the allegations were immediately denied by the police department. department. And I think it's interesting, and I think it's a problem, that generally when complaints are made against police officers, the immediate response is that it is untrue. And for years, people have trusted that the police department is going to investigate complaints against their own police officers. My experience has been that quite often the investigation is an attempt to
whitewash?
Well, not whitewash, but to find a way that the officer did find a way that the officer did not do what was complained about.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to represent the police officer.
Mm-hmm.
That is not at all an independent investigation. That, you know, to take the analogy of what happens to most people who are accused of a crime, the person who looks into that allegation doesn't try to defend that person.
Mm-hmm.
You have a defending attorney who tries to do that, and you have a prosecuting attorney who tries to hold up the charges. So it's really a problem that also what's so important is that the women who came forward to complain, they were told that essentially they had lied and that the stories they told were untrue and to some extent were made up by people in the Coalition for a Police Review Commission.
And this was, I think, has been another concern of critics of the, critics of the criticism on Sergeant Baker. The claim is that this was simply Baker was to be the political poster board for the Citizens Police Review Board Commission's attempt to get a new board passed as part of its political agenda. What do you think about that critique?
Well, I think that this group was organized to create a police review board, and part of that organizing work and gaining support for that move was to publicize incidents of police misconduct. There were a number of cases that were publicized, Valenzuela and Sweeney, two gentlemen who were brutalized by Santa Cruz police officers and filed complaints and then filed a lawsuit. Their case was publicized. Then it came to the attention of attorneys in the group that these incidents of sexual misconduct were occurring, and we publicized those. It was for multi-purposes. It was to gain, it was to spread knowledge of police misconduct in Santa Cruz. It was to spread knowledge of the failure of the police department's system to address complaints of misconduct.
And to investigate itself.
To investigate itself.
Now, I know that one consequence of the Baker situation was that the city council itself formed a subcommittee to look into it. Do you want to tell us something about that? Or do you know anything about
that? Yeah, I mean, that's... They developed a subcommittee, public safety committee. Unfortunately, one of the members of this committee, Louis Rittenhouse, was against the creation of the police review board from the start. And he was one of three people on a committee that was creating it.
The other two were Scott Kennedy and Catherine Byers, I recall.
Yeah, I think Don Lane originally, and then he left the council. Yeah, so they did eventually create the police review board, and it there was a lot of discussion about...
You know, you're skipping to something else I think is important, but I was referring to the small committee set up in the summer of 1992 to actually investigate Sergeant Baker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, Officer Baker, then Officer Baker.
Oh, well, yeah, a few hundred people, the Sentinel report right here in front of me says 200 people went to... the city council and said, hey, there's been a few investigations of these complaints against Officer Baker. We don't believe the results of these investigations. We think there should be another one. The DA, the grand jury, and the police department all said that Officer Baker had not committed these allegations of police misconduct.
Now, did they say that he hadn't committed the actions, or that the actions that he committed were not a violation of the law?
generally, to answer that question, they said the acts had not occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And the DA backs that up with predominantly with the idea that the women who made the complaints, their stories varied too much when they were at the same incident. For example, when there were three women at one incident, their stories were so different that they had to be discarded. And also, so-called independent witnesses at these incidents, which included mostly police officers, were different than the complainant's stories so much that the stories can't be true.
What about polygraph tests? Were anyone given a lie detector test?
I haven't been able to determine what happened with that. I found some letters back and forth from attorneys in the coalition to the DA talking about that issue, and I can't tell, and I don't recall clearly who took tests and who didn't. One really interesting thing about the DA's final report is that it really does emphasize that the complainant's stories were so different that they can't be true. And it's so interesting to me that the police officers at this one incident at the Best Inn Motel, their stories are also quite different, yet their testimony is not discarded as untruthful.
Well, it's interesting. We had this shooting of Happy John Dine where the three main witnesses of the district attorney's office relied upon Ben Newman, the catalyst bouncer, Officer Martin Over, who's recently, by the way, being accused of more instances of misconduct, and Officer Connor Carey. Their stories were all divergent, highly divergent. And one would think then that and they would all be suspended indefinitely and, in order to investigate what was going on there.
Right. Yeah, and in this case, the police officers can't remember. There is no common story among the officers who entered this motel room. They can't remember if they entered with their guns drawn or not. And yet their testimony is upheld as truthful and reliable when the stories of the complainants are not, because they can't remember exact details. For example, they give the three women give different size flashlights being used to look up their shirts. The DA says, gosh, these women are saying that these flashlights are quite different sizes. They must be lying.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the police officers can't remember if they entered the room with their guns drawn, which is a fairly dramatic difference to enter a room with your gun out or not.
You know, this practice, I've seen officers draw their guns.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an officer draw his gun 3 weeks ago in an incident where he actually drew a gun on a victim who was leaving a scene. I haven't even filed a complaint about this, and I should, and hopefully I will. I heard of accounts a lot 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago? It was 2 weeks ago of a man who had a gun drawn on him as he was facing a trespass charge in a Canfield unabandoned property, or one of the properties that the Seaside Company doesn't keep up, that was used during the very heavy rains for people to kind of squat in and hide in and get some shelter from. Two officers reportedly came in at midnight and drew guns on him, and I actually talked about this on the air, and then said regarding Happy John dying, when he said, you guys, your police department killed Happy John, and he said, yeah, but we got away with it, didn't we? You know, I mean, the kind of mentality here, it's very significant whether a police officer draws a gun. It's very significant whether she or he discharges it. Certainly more significant than the size of a flashlight. And the reason I bring this up is not because I want to pick on Sergeant Baker. I think individual officers have to be judged on the basis of what they do and don't do, how, you know, whether they properly enforce the trust that is given them and do their job. But I think what's really of greater concern than that, even than that, is how the structure of the police department deals with concerns about what they do. And when I see, you know, a man declared officer of the year the next year, promoted the year after, and then suddenly he's in the middle of stuff supposedly around homeless events. I mean, as I've said on the air before, and Sergeant Baker has never told me differently around the issue of his behavior toward homeless people a decade ago.
You know, he was relentless. He arrested homeless people right and left. He harassed them with tickets. He had me arrested on bogus charges. I mean, it was, you know, I expect that kind of stuff, but it just seemed all so typical of him. The evening after the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep ended their week sleep out, weeks-long sleep out at City Hall, and we did our sleep out in the fall of that year, he was there harassing people. I mean, it is, you know, now he may have changed, and that's of course what we can't, you know, I think one must always give an opportunity for individuals to change. That's what this is all about. People have to change. The system has to change. But I think if people haven't changed, and if we're being told to swallow the same old bullshit, then we have to stand up and say, no thanks, and bring up these specific instances. So to me, the question is still an open one, and that's why I've asked you to talk about what you know, so we can have some of the specifics from the past clearly in front of us as we examine the present. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead with what you're saying.
One point that comes to mind is... Officer Baker is, you know, through this process, is publicly accused of doing these terrible things. And it is my opinion that these women who complained, because I spoke to them, some of them personally, and was a part of the Coalition for a Police Review Commission, that they didn't make up these stories. A problem is, it's not Officer Baker, it's not Butch Baker, it's not an attempt to hurt this person, Butch Baker, or to attack him, or to anything like that at all. It's an attempt to get information out to the public, excuse me, about these incidents. And to some extent, I see the validity in perhaps doing it a little differently. In not necessarily naming the police officer,
mm-hmm.
In making some effort not to damage him or to attack him, but to address the question of the complaints specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And police personnel and some other folks really criticized the Coalition for supposedly attacking Officer Baker and even being accused of trying to find something on some police officer to publicize in an effort to get a police review board. That is not the case. What I find really hypocritical is that police officers in the police department can say, why are you publicly accusing this police officer when he didn't do these things? And what is so hypocritical is that the police department does the very same thing every day. They arrest people and they release the names to the press of those people before they have a trial and before they're found guilty.
Sometimes they execute them before they're guilty.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So I find the argument hypocritical, although I don't discard the argument. I would find it better if everyone changed their behavior rather than people, you know, publicly accusing other people. Generally, I think it'd be better to figure out something different, but...
Let me interrupt you for a minute, John.
Yeah.
We're on the air talking to John Malkin, who's a radio commentator, a man about music, former Citizens Police Review Board member, and a community activist in Santa Cruz and up in San Francisco as well. And we're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's the... The number you're tuned to is 96.3 FM on your dial. This is Bathrop Spears Broadside's two-hour show concerning itself with civil rights for the poor. Our call-in number is 427-3772, but unfortunately, what you're going to have to do is instead call our alternate line, and where we have an operator standing by at 423-4833. Call 423-4833 if you wish to comment on anything that you've heard John Malkin and I talking about, or the general topic of police misconduct or fairness to the police department in terms of allegations against them or fairness to those who they are alleged to have harassed. I mean, whatever topics seem to be appropriate around this subject. I wish we had a way to draw you into this discussion, John, because I know I guess there really is a way if you're going to, but I think your time is limited. We're probably reaching the edge of your time.
Yeah.
But I mean, we can do is we can, if we get some incoming calls that seem to be, you know, hot and they want to talk to you, maybe we can try to call you back at your number and get you on the line. I don't know, do you have any time for that, or are we kind of pushing it?
I'm not going to be able to do that today, unfortunately, but at a future time.
Well then, yeah, if there are calls, and I will field these calls myself, but I don't have the documentation of the 1991-92 period where there was this series of allegations against Sergeant Baker and the various investigations and statements to and from the DA's office and so forth. But I take it you will be putting those into my hands at some point?
I will, yeah.
I can then talk about that with interested people, some of whom have contacted me off air to discuss this. And I just want to say that I...